blessings. I just want to thank Jim for sharing all the years I've known him. What a blessing he is to us. Amen.
It's all about God.
Yeah.
Blessings on Amen. All of us.
So let's have a big hand for Jim. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Boy, you guys ain't trying very hard. Let's have a big hand for Jim.
Am I on?
Are you what?
Am I on?
No.
Nope.
Okay. How many people want Jim on?
Another blessing.
How about that?
How about that? Hey, we're on. We got God's power here. Praise God. I just want to welcome you all. Thank you for all coming down, not to support me, but to support God and His holy presence with one another as a family. It's like, wow. When I got this message, it was like, it came to me as I want to bless you as much as our Heavenly Father that I bless today by being before you. And I want to share this with you too. I don't know how many more days I'm going to have to share. But I have a health problem, a major one. You know that. But praise God. Could have been no sharing at all. But He uses us. He uses me. He uses you. He uses everybody. And it's just by asking Him to use you that He will use you. I just want to say this to you. Welcome you again. Happy Father's Day to you all. And have a God day. Did you catch it? Have a God day. This is the day of the Lord. Sunday, the first day of the week. So, with that, I want to start with you. I gave this message a title. And it's, Do You Have a Testimony for Jesus? Or how about for other people? What is a testimony? We're going to get into that. We're even going to share a couple of testimonies. And it's why we share a testimony. If we don't tell somebody about what we want them to know, how will they know? God does the same with us. He wrote a book. He wrote the scriptures all by the Holy Spirit for all of us. It's the oldest historical book ever written in this world. And His word says it is true. There's nothing added and taken away. It stays just the way it is, true. I'm going to ask a question here this morning. Do we all, as people of faith, have and hold a living relationship with Jesus as God's living saints of today? You know, that's like a lot of people go to church on Sunday and they walk out the doors and that's where God stays. God's word says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. We'll do that to Him when we walk out those doors and come back just on Sunday. Without God in your life every day, you're missing the blessings that He's throwing out for us. We won't see Him. We'll be blinded to Him. What a blessing to have God blessing us. He loves us that much. The relationship we each hold can be grown in God's Word and the Holy Spirit. If you want to know God better, I'm going to share it with you. Years ago when I was at the little Catholic church down the road in Fairland, Nemours, I opened up the family Bible and I tried to read that, and it's like, it didn't make no sense. Not at all. And I really wanted to know more about it. So I kept looking at it, but I don't remember what I looked at today. Well, I was starting to develop a relationship with God. I didn't know it at that time, but I was hungry. Hungry for the Word. And didn't know. Now, after I got to read God's Word, oh my God, all the blessings I could have had from a little guy on, I missed out on that all till I got to be 47 years old. And I'll share that testimony later. Do you know, as my children, brothers and sisters in Christ, in a relationship with Jesus, born again of the Holy Spirit, that you are living saints? Back in that little church down the road, they used to teach us in catechism, there are saints and there's living saints. That's the saints that believe today. People that believe today, you're God's saints. If you have faith in God, you are a living saint today. Wow. I would have never known that before. And by having to knowing this, you hold wonder-working power in your heart. God works in you. God lives in you. How much do we live in Him? Well, the relationship is where it's all at. It's what it's all about. The Holy Spirit. God tells us in His Bible. I'm going to share a little bit on that. You know, you probably heard this before. How do you spell Bible? B-I-B what? L-E. B-I-B-L-E. It stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. This is what God's saying in His Word. You can have salvation and live eternally forever after you pass. It don't stop here. This is where we live in the love of God with one another. He still has purpose for us after we're gone because we belong to Him. I'm going to do a reading about being born again. I'm going to John 3, starting with 1. I talked about that little road, little church down the road. Here we're going to talk about one of the most religious people in Jesus' time, because he was a Pharisee. It's just the same as any other denomination. It's another denomination. There's the Sadducees, the Edgesees, and they're all sad, you see, because they don't know Jesus. Amen. Well, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stop for a second. He came to Jesus by night. You know why? So nobody else would see him. He come in the dark and approached Jesus. He had something in his heart. He wanted to ask Jesus. Okay. You know, we come to him at night and he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Hear this, Jesus said, That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Jesus said, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sounds of it, but you can't tell where it's come from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven, Jesus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, Jesus. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. It don't stop here. I think I'm gonna go on a little farther, but I'm gonna warn you. I'm gonna add my italics to John 3:16-18. So here we go. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever, who's that? That's you and I and anyone else. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son, Jesus, into the world to condemn the world to hell, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus. Wow. That tells us a lot right now. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes, how many of us, don't raise your hands, but how many of us, talk to yourself, believe in him? If you have faith in him, you shall not perish. You shall have everlasting life. All you got to do is get to that relationship to know him better and better and better. And you're going to become such a joyous person. It's going to change who you are in this world today with all the stuff that's going on today. Let's switch here. I'm going to show you a picture. I'm going to show you a picture of God's love. I think when we talked about just before, God tells us if we love him, how to get to know him better. Because what he has is not just a regular marriage love, not just, When I got married, I thought I knew what love was, and I did not. Till I met the Lord personally. I share this with you today. An agape love is not the same love that we call love. Love, love, love. It's a different love. It's a power-working love. It's in you that no one can take away. What a blessing for that love God touches us with. And at times we don't expect to know. Thank you, Lord. What a love He has for us. I'm going to show you now another picture of God's love. And it's in Luke 15 through 18. And it's a prodigal son. And how God loves even a prodigal son. Luke 15:18. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Here's this prodigal son. He went to the father. And he asked him for a share of the portion of his inheritance that he might go out on his own and start another business or do whatever. So the father gave him his share. He's the youngest son. And he went out and spent everything he had working for other people and things, but he lost it all. And he started to become starved to death almost. And then he realized, my father's got so many servants, I should go back to my father. But how's my father going to accept me if I come back and spent all his money that he inherited me? So he says, again I must say, I will rise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Sinned against God and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was still great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. I'm going to show you the face of God. This is the love of God and how it works. That father, instead of being all upset, didn't know nothing yet. He ran and fell upon his neck and kissed that prodigal son. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in you and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. He'd come back hungry and half naked, and his clothes were wore out. And the father sees this, and he's pouring out the love that he has for that son no matter what. The father said, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger. I'm going to stop right there. You know that put the ring on his finger? That was like a credit card today. It's like giving him a credit card in his father's name. And it was sealed that way. He says, and sandals on his feet. And then he says, bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this is my son who was dead. And he's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I just think this is a love that a lot of fathers today would. What would you do if your son come back and told you, I lost everything I had coming to me, Dad? But to tell it to him today, they would say, thanks, Pa. That's it. You'd be lucky to get a thanks today. The way times have changed. But I'm saying, you can see the love that that father has. And he knows God. He knows God. This is where the love comes from. But what a blessing to meet a father, meet a man like that. And today I'll tell you it's very rare for a father to appear that way. I'm going to show you another picture of God at this time. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, he didn't hang on the cross by himself. There were others with him. How many? There was two all together, three with Jesus. And then one of the criminals that was hanging on the cross blasphemed Jesus, saying, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and us, huh?" But the other answered, rebuking him, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justify, for we receive the due reward of our deeds that we've done. But this man has done nothing wrong." Jesus has not done nothing wrong. Well, by him talking like this, hanging on the cross, do you think he had faith in Jesus? I'm going to say to you, then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." There's the faith. He's believing in Jesus and life after death and whatever. And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." He will have eternal life with Jesus. He's not just going to the ground, be buried, and end up with his soul going to hell, tormented for the rest of forever. This is what happens. The thief on the cross was repentant. And in his sin and his faith in Jesus, received eternal life after his death. Now, I want to tell you and everyone who wants to know God personally how to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's only by reading God's Word. He says, he calls it our bread and the Our Father. Give us our daily bread. Jesus is the bread. And if you read God's Word, you will see that. It's only by coming to know him that you can develop the most wonderful relationship and trust there is in this world today. I'm just going to stop here and get off the track a little bit. There's a lot of times where I'm doing something and it's like, How did this break? How does that work? And it's like, I can't figure out what to do. And I say, "Lord, here I am. I need you. What else can I do?" And all of a sudden, it just comes sometimes. Doesn't happen all the time, but it happens pretty often. And it reminds me. All of a sudden, I try it again a different way. Pop, everything goes together perfect. Thank you, Lord. I'm not alone. You're with me every day. You're with me in the times like this. And I thank you because I needed somebody. I needed you, Lord, that fixed what I'm fixing here. I got off the track, but this is the God we serve. He truly does live in us. But if you don't call on him, and James, he says, you have not because you ask not. You've got to ask. James 2:4. Without asking, who knows what you need? Who knows? I'm just saying to one another, if you don't tell me you need help, I can't help you. If you tell me you need help, I can probably help you or get somebody that can help you. I know somebody right now that can help you more than you can even imagine at this time. His name is Jesus Christ. And all it takes is a relationship with him, to ask him. You know what that brings? It brings about unspeakable joy. Just like when things pop together. Just like when you don't know where to go and you can see God's hand in it. His love helping you. It's unspeakable. It's the joy of knowing in our trials and tribulations. I'm going to go to another screenshot here. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 29. This is something that came to me, and I know Darlene said this also, that she read Jeremiah 29 in the Bible, and it touched her heart, soul, and spirit, just like mine. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 29 now. God says in His Word, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God says, I will be found by you." Again, if you don't ask, nobody knows nothing. You develop that relationship with the Lord before you even go anywhere else. It'll be a shortcut every time. God will arrange things like that. So I want to tell you that Deuteronomy 4:29-36 plus says this so plain, and but a whole bunch more words. It's the same thing. If you want to be found by God, if you want to look for a relationship with God, like He doesn't just answer. I'm going to stop for a second. I'm not knocking any church that's out here. They all point towards Christ. They're like a football coach on the football field pointing the way, trying to win what they can win. They're trying to win salvation for you, but you got to do it for yourself. You have to be saved yourself in your heart. No man can save you. No minister can save you. No higher clergy can save you. No one. It's only by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was here, He says, "I'll send you the Comforter." We've been talking about this before. And it's only the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that comes to us, that can touch your heart to call out to God for salvation. You want eternal life? Ask God for it. You want blessings in your life, like the prayer we sang here, the blessings? You got to ask for it. And nobody can give it to you. And the best part is this. When you got it, you got that joy, I don't care what happens in the world, no man can take that from you. It's right here. It's in my heart. It's in my soul. It's in my spirit. And nobody can go there but Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Only God on Judgment Day can see this. And this is what gives me eternal life. This is what gives me all the hope that I have. This is my future. Eternal life, and not just by myself, with my loved ones. You got to be born again. You got to be born from above. Jesus is the one who was born from above and came down. He's the only one. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. it's so hard sometimes to ask. We go to church, get over, and get out, and go our way and do our thing. But do we really ask? Do you ask with a true heart? Call upon me, God says, and pray to me. I'll listen to you. And if you'll seek me, and you will seek me and find me, when? When you search for me with all your heart. I was searching for God when I went down to that little church over there in the corner and opened up the family Bible. I didn't find God. I'll get more onto that in a minute with my testimony. But I just praise God for the path that He put me on in my life from a child on. I wouldn't want to change nothing and lose what I have right now for a relationship between me and God. I wouldn't sell it. I wouldn't even think of that. It couldn't happen anyway. You got to get it yourself. That joy ain't going nowhere. It's staying right here. And if I got it here, I can give it away. But nobody can take it from me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, I just wanted to give you that screenshot with even the thief on the cross that committed us. If he killed somebody, if he robbed a bank, if he robbed whatever he done, maybe he lived his life robbing. So what? Whatever he did wrong, when God loves us that much, and there's nothing you can do to sin against God that can stop him. When you ask him, he has compassion. He's waiting for you all this lifetime to ask. Now is the time. Don't wait for tomorrow. It may not come to you. It may be taken off the face of this earth. Don't wait. Ask him now. Tell him you want to be born of the Spirit. Tell him you want to be born again. Tell him you want to have a relationship with him. How can I love a God that I don't know? How can you love your wife if you don't know her, or your husband? If you don't know him, do you really love him? You might be friends. That don't go very far today, does it? It takes real love to marry somebody. And that love does not compare to the love that God has for you. It's a different love. It's a really strong love. It's a godly love. It's awesome. Talk about unspeakable joy again. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to go. I think I'm complete here. Whoa, backed up. This is a scripture verse that I love. And I'm going to say it to you this way. Reading the Bible, I have fun because God speaks to me in His Word, just like you speak to me. I want to know what God's telling me. I want an understanding of that verse and what He's saying. I'm going to read this. In John 1, 1 John 4, 7. This is 7 through 11. God has a 7-Eleven story, you know that? And it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't shut. 24/7. All it's doing is waiting for you to enter and come on in the door, open up that Bible and look anytime, day or night, holiday, don't make no difference. It's a 7-Eleven store that does not shut down. It's only God that can do that. Listen to the words of this. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Right? Without God, this world, right now, love is hard to find out there. But I'm going to share something with you that while I'm here. And I guess I'm going to have to say it this way. When one Christian meets, maybe it's the times we're in, when one Christian meets another Christian out wherever he's at, you know it's hard to break away from that person? There's a love, automatic love, by hearing he's a Christian. And he's sharing with me and I'm sharing with him. My God, God is between us. It's like, I don't want to walk away. I have to go, but I want to stay and enjoy the love that God is feeding back and forth between one another. I want to grow more. He wants to grow more. This love today is rare to find outdoor. It's rare to find. And we don't want to lose it when we get it. So every time we have friends that we talk to and we look for the Christ in one another, we want to taste that love. We want to live in that love and that presence. It's awesome. Now, I'm going to go a little further. Christian relationships ought to be the most loving in the world. Christians who meet each other for the first time, they experience that bond of love, and it goes beyond the limits of any understanding. Why that love comes is because God is activated in the presence of you two. The love that Christians have is a relationship where we see, we can tell, we sense the presence of God in one another. God's love for each another as we see a greater close-up of God in one another. Being born again is the greatest and the strongest love on earth. Amen. I'm just going to say this. If you didn't know what love was, if you didn't know what being born again was, and you need help, do not be afraid to call me. Do not be afraid to call Pastor Tom and Pastor Darlene. Don't be afraid to call a different pastor, but I would prefer you call me and that I keep you on the right track, because there's a lot of twisted things in the world today. But if it don't line up with the Word of God, I ain't going there with you. I'll help you get there, because only God can supply the truth in your life, and that's the only way. Don't get all tangled up. The world wants to tangle us today. So this is if you need help, give me a jingle. Give me a call. I'll help you. God will help you. I'll just say it this way. You're helping yourself. And it's the best thing you can do. It's the greatest thing that you can do, is to become born from above, born of the Spirit. The job goes easier. The trials and the tribulations are nothing. I still got that joy going through them because of Christ. I'll leave that there. I'm gonna get into a testimony. I'm going to start with Gloria. And we're going to have to push a little, but we'll get there. Gloria, come on up. She had many strokes, and they caused her so much hardship. And the bad part of it is all, it's very forgetful at times, and it's still here today. She has a hard time to remember. But everything's coming back, but that memory part is like, I don't know. There was for a while, Gloria even lost. In her head, she knew Corey, Amy, Josh, and Jesse, but she couldn't speak it. Well, you want to say that? You want to say that? Okay, I'll let you do it.
Corey, Amy, Josh, and Jesse. There you go.
And she can write it.
I've learned it. Yeah, I don't write too fast, and as plain as I used to. I had beautiful penmanship before.
Yes.
But I don't have that anymore. Well, I was waking up one morning, and we were in bed. And I was, I think I had a dream. And it was that I was not going to die anymore. I was going to live. And I thought, can this be true? And I believed it. I really believed it. Now I forgot. You said so much.
She said to me, and this was on Friday the 13th, May.
Yeah, Jim told me.
Friday
I didn't know
the
13th. That. I would have known it, but he told me.
And of this year. And it was at 5 o'clock in the morning, she wakes me up. Can we talk? I just had this dream. She could hardly talk. She's all excited. And she's talking about Scripture. Unbelievable. She can remember that. She can't remember much. She's remembering this. So what a blessing. What a blessing of a morning of a day. And then she said to me, she said, I always thought I was this little Catholic girl that I was born again. I was saved because I knew God all my life. But now she says, I know that I know. Oops. That it's really a good thing, she said. I'm writing down what she said. That it's really a good thing that I did not die before this time. Gloria said she can't always say what she wants, but she can see it. And what I can't say. And she said, I am born again now, even in a dream of God, about God. And she said, I know that I know for sure I have eternal life. This is the word you gave us. Thank God. Thank you, Lord.
And also, I wanted to add, I want all of you here to know this, because I want you to be born again too. Every one of you is here. I want you to be born again.
Amen.
I want you to love God as much as I do. I want you, because if you love God that much, you won't do all these things wrong. And He'll forgive you if you do. Just don't do anything terribly wrong. But if you love Him enough and tell Him you're sorry and you did that, He'll heal.
Amen.
Give you everlasting life. And I don't want to have to say goodbye to Jim. And he's born again already. Maybe you all thought he had gone a little bonkers. Thought he was a little goofy. Well, he did. He thought he did. But If you thought that was bonkers, you're going to see it twice as much now.
Praise God. Amen.
You ready for that? Having two born-again people pushing you?
So she is not going to leave this world
without you.
Without you.
And I'm going to be pushing you to be born again, too.
All you guys.
All of you.
We'll probably see you all in church next Sunday. Oh, I hope, I pray. But what a blessing. What a mom.
Thanks, thanks.
Amen. And come on over. And now I'm going to share my little testimony. I'm going to share. You know what?
I thought you forgot mine.
I told you I went to that little church down the road over there. I hated going there. I honestly dreamed in my, I would think about this. When I get my driver's license, I ain't going to that dumb church. I'm going down to the park. I'll wait an hour down at the park, and then I'll go home. But then, what do I say when Ma says, well, what did the priest talk about? Now I'm going to be in trouble. Bad trouble. Probably take my license away, my driving privileges, probably a whole bunch of stuff. So I didn't do that. Then I got married. And when I got married, we had two girls. Not to say they were saints, but according to Josh and Jesse, I think maybe they were a little bit more saintly. Because when Josh and Jesse were this high, like Colt is now, or less, you couldn't keep them quiet in church no matter what. I mean, they're under the pews and they come out 4 or 5 feet through all the legs, 4 or 5 down the aisle, and then look and then come running back where you are. All kinds of stuff. But I'm going to say this to you. I thought about what I could do. And the church was very small. And there's people that were packed in by a pillar. And the pillar would be maybe about room for 2 or 3. And you had to get there earlier. You weren't having no seat except way in the front. Well, that's the last place I wanted to sit. But with these two little boys, I put the fear of God into them. I said, Josh and Jess, you know, when we said a bad word, we got a bar of soap shoved in our mouth from Sister Claudette. And your teeth scraped that you couldn't help but half swallow some of that stuff. And she'd just get so upset. But then I put more fear in that the priest would peel your tongue for talking a sassy word or saying something wrong. And I put the fear of the priest into him by this. If we got to church and it was a little bit later, and you'd go down the aisle, it's full. The back is packed. There's people standing. And there's a little bit of room over here on the other side, that pillar, or just maybe right here on this side. But people, God showed me this, and I didn't know it. I'm a farm boy. Cows will not go in one another's stall. I'm telling you, people are the same way. They got their spot and their seat in that church, and don't you try. They ain't moving over. You go find somewhere else. And it just reminded me of cattle. And I hated going more. So I'm going to cut it short by telling you, I told God, I'm going to tell you the last best part. The one Sunday, I ended up sitting in the front pew where you are. And the priest is standing in the middle. And I'm sitting by the edge here so I can catch the boys. Well, I told God this. God, I feel bad saying this, but if I can't hear you, if I can't feel you, if I can't smell you, taste you, touch you, you'll never be real to me. And I said that all the while the priest is, I'm just talking to God that way. I don't know what the priest is talking about. And I did this for 3 Sundays. The 3rd Sunday, I'm sitting in the front pew again, of all places for the... There was a song called Big Boys Don't Cry. And I'm sitting in the front pew. And I told God, God, I really feel bad telling you this over and over, but if you can't, you're not real to me. If I can't hear you, feel you, see you, taste you, touch you, smell you, you'll never be real to me. And I don't know what these people got. They come back and they got that same seat and they're here every Sunday and they don't miss. Every time I come, they're there. And them are too. So I'm sitting in the front pew and I've started telling God this on the 3rd day. On that 3rd day, I don't know what happened. But I had a green shirt on. And that green shirt, there was no dry on it. And Gloria's in the front pew elbowing me and besides, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? What's the matter? And I can't talk. I'm just crying away. Unbelievable. I wanted to crawl on my hands and knees like the boys did. Crawl on my hands and knees under the pew to go out to get into the sacristy or whatever it took. I didn't want to be seen by people. I'm all wet, sobbing. I can't stop. Well, church got out. People left. Then Gloria's really ribbing me. What's the matter with you? Well, I can't talk. I'm just crying harder. And pretty soon the people all quieted down, so I know they left. So she said, let's go. They're gone. So grabs my arm. She walks me out of church. I kept my head down in case there would be somebody. And I was really embarrassed and ashamed. Anyway, we got out to the car. And there was some people, but they were off. And you could hear them. But I got in the car and I thought, oh, I got to the car and I, hey, no way I can drive. I know that. I didn't say that. I know that. So I went around sitting Gloria's side the car and she drove home, drove up on the parking lot. I mean, in the apron of the garage and front the garage door. And I got out of the car and I started walking out behind the shop. And when I got out behind, going out there, Gloria's following me. And I motioned to her, leave me be, came out. When I got out behind the shop, I knelt down on, nobody's back there, you can't see. And I knelt down on the ground and I looked up to heaven. I thought God was just in heaven. You know, and I said, God, you'll never have to touch me like this again. Ever. I'm going to my grave knowing you are real. You are my God. And it was like, he'll never have to touch me again like that. And I didn't know that, but all while I'm asking him this, I'm praying to him, right? Right? He'd give me what it took to keep me, that I'm still here today, and I could say, he'll never have to touch me like that again. I got it right here. I got it in my spirit. Nobody can have it. You got to get your own. I'm telling you, I know that now. You got to get your own. You got to ask for yourself. This is who God is. And I could take this. I could take guys that would talk rough to you at work or whatever, and I can bless them, and they don't turn away from a blessing. They might talk about me because I blessed them, but guess what? They were blessed. It's like, I love to do that now with people everywhere. find the hospitals is a good place, or the doctor's office, or appointments, or in a restaurant. Gloria says, I need to go get therapy, but I need to go to Village Kitchen for that therapy because we meet people and I talk to them, she says, and this is my therapy. I need that. But it's also all of our therapy because we talk about God and we pray with people. What a blessing. God is so good. We'll close up. So, you want to close, Tom?